Ever feel like there's a better way to build? So do we. I'm Matt, and welcome to the Mindful Builder podcast, where we believe in education through storytelling. Join me and my co-host Hamish as we both have a passion for building better, breaking barriers, and sharing our experience within the building industry. We're not pretending to know it all. In fact, we're learning right alongside you. Join us each week as we tackle complex topics like building science and mental well-being, inviting the brightest minds to connect curiosity with expertise. We want this to be a real conversation, encouraging vulnerability through honest discussions. So if you love this podcast and you're ready to join in, learn and build better, please do us a favor and subscribe wherever listening. It's the best way to make sure you never miss an episode, plus it really helps us out. And if you're feeling extra generous, a 5-star rating and a quick review would be amazing. Your support helps us reach new listeners and even better, allows us to book incredible guests for the future episodes. Thank you so much for being part of our community. We truly appreciate you. And now on to this week's episode.
I reckon probably the easiest thing to start off with this podcast is just working out what Luke Davies doesn't do.
What I don't do.
What you don't do.
Yeah.
You've written a, lots of things.
Architecture firm, builder, written a book. What else?
Future builder. Oh,
we're future, builder yep.
Future builder.
Yeah, representing the future builder.
Developer, dad, health expert. Author, educator. Luke, great to have you.
Thanks, Hamish.
Health expert. Mate. I want to know more on this one.
Health? Yeah. I'm deep diving down health now. I've turned 40.
I've noticed. We've had our chats. Yep.
Longevity protocols and
really
preventative healthcare.
Yeah, I wish you hadn't said this because I reckon this is just going to hijack the rest of this conversation.
What's your biggest few things at the moment you're doing? I'm doing nothing, as you can see.
Yep.
He can see that, Matt, that he was acknowledging that.
Yeah. Actually, yesterday we were over for the business and AI summit.
Yep.
And the day before that, I came over a bit earlier and went to a company called Everlabs.
Yep.
And did a full body DEXA scan, bone density and
yep.
all your body fat.
Composition
and all that type
yep.
of stuff. A VO2 max test.
Oh,
put
yeah.
the mask
how'd you go?
On and run. Killed me.
It's yeah, hard it's work.
Hard. Yeah, it's like harder than I thought.
Because don't they say that your VO2 max is such a really great indicator of your longevity?
Yeah, yeah. And just that seeing the stats. Yeah, done blood pressure, done all the blood work.
Yeah.
You do some push-ups and balance tests and weight tests. So it sets all the baseline for all your biomarkers.
Yeah.
And then their platform gives you they use AI and they bring in consultants and gives you sort of a tailored plan.
Wow.
DNA testing for the right supplements to match sort of your DNA profile.
Amazing.
Is it expensive or is it pretty well priced?
The DNA test, maybe $800.
Yeah, which is you go anywhere, that's what it's going to cost.
And
when you say DNA?
This other one was a $3,000 test for the full year of like the full body stuff. You can do full cancer scans and all that type of stuff if you wanted to get into that as well.
When you say DNA testing, is that just blood tests?
You send away a swab of your mouth, your DNA.
Yeah, okay.
It's like they...
looking for risk methylation. Factors and risk markers, essentially.
Yeah.
So, like, are you at a higher risk of, say, developing Alzheimer's?
Yeah, okay.
And then you could say, well, if you are, you can do things to potentially prevent it.
Because I got my bloods done this year and it's sort of testing, I guess, fat, cholesterol, testosterone, all that kind of stuff. So it's different to that.
Yeah, it's definitely different to that. And what they're trying to do is just match the supplementation that your body needs based on your DNA.
Because everyone's different.
What's this place called again?
Everlab.
Everlab. All right.
Yeah, it's Luke's new business.
Yeah, have you got shares in that one?
Be good. It's way in the future. There's lots of
personalized
preventative
medicine.
Healthcare happening and
There's a good book on it.
A health wave.
Oh, it's an awesome book on this and I read it over Christmas. I've got to find this, what it is now. And it practically, futuristic. It's like medicine 3.0.
Yeah,
it's preventative. It. Like, for example, I've got high cholesterol. So it's like, get on the tablet now. Like, why wait till you're 50 when you've already got more plaque built up? Just start now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm going to find the book.
So, you just literally starting the conversation off around the fact that you're doing this probably is a good indication of a lot of the things that you do. But can you go back... for people who don't know you,
the book's called Outlive, The Science of Art and Longevity.
There we go. Yes. All right, I'm going to get that one. Maybe just give the audience a bit of a snapshot of who you are and where you've come from.
Yeah, no worries. So originally born and bred in a little town called Sheffield in Tasmania. Grew up on dairy farms with my parents. They were sort of share farmers, so we moved around the state in Tassie. And always loved sort of working with my hands, always knew I wanted to be a carpenter. You know, I never had to try and work out what I wanted to be going through school. Wasn't that good at school.
Yep.
I think it's a common thread to the more and more builders I talk to. Dyslexic, I found out later on in life as well.
Yeah. At what point did you find out you were dyslexic?
When I got my son tested.
Okay. Yeah. It's usually the trigger, isn't it?
And I'm thinking, you know, because I thought I was just stupid at school. I couldn't – I was good at some stuff, but, yeah. You know, not others. And I'm still not a very good reader, even though I've written a book.
Yeah, I do find out. We'll get to
the book. Because, like, I feel like when you say, are you stupid and smart, there's things you're probably good at. They're just at, I don't know, we're at school, so maths, English, like, they're just things that you weren't interested in.
Yeah, the woodwork and the tech yeah. stuff, woodwork, metalwork.
Yep.
Excelled at that.
Yep.
Just, you know, the physical stuff, the sports, and was okay at math.
Yep.
But all the other stuff, I was interested, but just couldn't
yep.
couldn't engage in it. Straight out of school, 16, couldn't get an apprenticeship, so I done a TAFE course, got into furniture making.
Yep.
So I went through that and sort of learnt a bit of stuff about the finer art of timber and
yep.
how to read the grain of timber and sharpen tools and all that cool stuff.
Yeah.
And then got a little gig as a sort of a joiner who offered me a traineeship, and then at the same time I got offered an apprenticeship in as a carpenter joiner, and I took that opportunity yep. and sort of grown from there.
We've asked this before. How do you identify yourself? Like, what are you as a job?
Entrepreneur.
Okay. Because we constantly ask the question to this, and it's like people go, I'm a carpenter. They still refer back to, like, yeah. I'm a carpenter.
I do. I still have that on my – I still like to – I'm proud to say I'm a carpenter.
Yep.
That yep. definitely doesn't get overridden with anything else I do in life, and I think a lot of us forget about that because it is a really – great skill to have.
Yeah, but you do a lot of other things. I mean, I know your story because we've been mates for a while, but you got into being a builder and you've made mistakes and you've, you know, learned, obviously sitting where you are now, you've learned a lot of those mistakes, and now with Future Builder, you're educating people on arguably you making those mistakes. So maybe just talk about you kind of going from being a carpenter and into, like, starting your own business as a builder.
Went through the standard sort of apprenticeship route, and then with my current boss, I stayed with him for another sort of 3 years. I was running projects probably in my third year of apprenticeship. Loved high quality stuff, loved the type of work we done, loved the guys that I worked with and
yep.
the community. So just super passionate about the building in my local area. And I talked to my boss a few times about potential opportunities because I wanted more places to grow. And there wasn't anywhere for me to sort of fit into his plan. So it was yeah. only me and him when we started, and we grew the team to about 10 while I was there.
Wow.
And then I ended up leaving. One of my mates just rang me up one day and said, I'm going out on my own. Decided to do this, and something just flicked in my head, and it's like, well, I could do that as well.
Mm.
And then, sort of went out on my own. But before that, I'd already got my builder's accreditation.
Okay.
Just as something to do.
Did you study whilst you were doing your apprenticeship? Like, did you do night school to further educate yourself, or did you just go home and that was it?
I did my Cert 4 just off my own bat.
Yeah.
While I was going, you know, sort of the end of my apprenticeship.
Yep.
And then after that, like I said, I just had – I was home. I was injured after a motorbike accident, and I had nothing to do really, so I went through and got my builder's accreditation. Even though I was working for my other boss, because I always knew even if I was working for him, I wanted to build and try and build some wealth through, you know, building my own projects. And you can only do like 2 in 10 years homeowner builder back then.
Yep.
So I thought, at least if I get my accreditation, I can, you know, maybe build my own projects on the weekends, maybe one a year, and try and get ahead.
build a house on the weekend.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, love it. Not an uncommon story, like a chippy going into being a business owner, like, and then actually starting to run a business, like, not very well.
Yep.
So I think you had some issues at some point?
Yeah, went through the ups and downs.
Yep.
So started off, grew the team pretty quickly. You know, everyone says get A players, but it's pretty hard when you start out. I think I probably went through 30 to 40 different, you know, carpenters and hiring agencies and apprentices. But yeah, it went up and down. So I probably grew the team when I first started to maybe 8 people.
And you're building or just carpentry work at that point?
Builder, yeah. Yep. So doing full projects. I had people coming to see me just who locally knew I'd started my own business who wanted me to do, you know, pretty big houses, like 30, 40 square projects and some big jobs. So I'm straight into the deep end.
Yep.
no business processes, no cash flow management, no, didn't know how to quote, couldn't search. There was no Instagram. There's no one to contact. I'd asked other builders if they could help me with some estimating templates and stuff, and no one would share anything.
Yeah,
so it's pretty isolated.
It's a different world now.
It's completely different now, yeah. You can just chat to anyone now, and a lot of people are happy to help. But back then it was my old boss wouldn't give me anything. So
it's not like you're taught how to use Excel either.
No, didn't know how to use any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then after probably the first 3 to 4 years in business, we just hit massive cash flow issues, which led to me having to just find stuff around the house, to sell. I was selling my personal iPads and push bikes and four-wheel drive, just to pay payroll, and then had to sell the house that we built. So it was like 75 grand in an overdraft. The house was fully maxed out mortgage-wise, and all that just occurred from not having that the systems around estimating properly and running cash flow.
And it's probably
trying to delegate stuff to untrained bookkeepers.
And it's probably not an uncommon
It's probably more common than...
Yeah. I mean, we're hearing stories now, off the back of COVID, we've sort of got that lag of, I guess, builders kind of feeling like they've come out the other side and then realising that, they were actually using their last job to finance the next one, and now that things are slowing down, they're like, I've got no money and I've got no projects in front of me, so...
Yeah, my mindset was back then, this job's going to save me. The next job's going to, pull me out of this hole. And it was just a... I've got a different mindset now. It's the overall flow of everything that happens through the business. So you're always just trying to win the next job to try and pay for the
And you undercut yourself.
I would have been, you're trading insolvent, because you're just trying to get the cash to come in.
Yeah, you quote
just cover your overheads, but cover the actual costs, the raw costs from the last job, the subs.
You quote a bit lower just to win the job to keep yourself a little bit more sane.
It's just a shitty cycle to get into.
The problem is that is still
but
a cycle,
you can work
though.
Out of it, you chip away and
that's a cycle right now for so many builders still, which is probably why you're now in Future Builder.
Well, I reached out at that point, and luckily I went to a Master Builders conference, and then there was someone there that introduced me to the concept of business coaching.
Yep.
And that's where I sort of started off that route with business coaching, and then audiobooks, which really unlocked just a new world of knowledge
for me.
I didn't because podcasting wasn't really out, but
just
some great audiobooks.
And I don't know if I'm diving too much in your personal life, but being dyslexic, do you struggle reading books?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you asked me to read out loud, I'd sort of get a bit of a sweat.
Yeah. Because I enjoy doing voice notes, and I actually most of our conversations are actually voice notes back and forth on the phone.
Yeah.
One, mind, I just can't fucking type
I
fast
do
enough.
Love sometimes now when it, it actually transcribes it. So sometimes you go, yeah, I've got it. If you don't really want to listen to it as well, some people, you kind of get an idea of, I know what the conversation's happening.
And I want to get to that because you have written a book. It's fucking so much to talk about. But was all of this at this stage under the banner of Davies Construction?
Yep.
Well, at what point, you obviously realise you've learnt from your mistakes, you've gone and done a whole bunch of, education, whether that's audio books, talking to people, getting business coaching and stuff like that. I'm interested to understand, at what point did you start seeing things turn around, and then when did you realise that Design Construct was the way forward?
Yeah, so when I started to reach out and get help, I still felt alone. I ended up, you probably don't know this either, but I ended up having a franchise, a building franchise for a couple of years.
I don't know this, but I'm not surprised.
In Tassie as well. Just because the attraction of dev, it's a systemised thing you can buy.
Oh, so you bought into
it? I bought into a franchise.
Yeah, okay.
So I run that for a couple of years in Tassie.
Yeah.
Still had Davies Construction, but trying to use the franchise model as well.
To bring it across, use that as the template to bring everything to your other.
Yeah.
That's quite smart.
And then
it's not silly at all.
That was a couple of years. So, and it was just hard. The market was hard. I was doing all sorts of, again, no real social media. I'd print out 1,000 letter mailbox things, and you go around and drop in mailbox letterbox drops, and talking to real estate agents, and it was just hard to get
proper networking.
It was just hard to get a job.
Yeah,
it was just super hard to find work and get a job.
When was this? What year are we talking?
Well, I started in 2009, which was probably that was the GFC.
Yeah, okay.
So that's when I started, and then sort of 5 years after that.
Yeah. Tricky time to be a builder.
Yeah, it was pretty tricky.
Yeah.
It's still pretty tricky right now though.
Well, I was, yeah.
I think aren't we always in a cycle? It's like, it was tricky back then, it's tricky now. Like, do we ever get out of tricky?
I don't know. Luke, you seem like you've got out of tricky.
Yeah, you do get out of tricky.
Just different cycles. Challenges.
There's been years, you know, big periods of my career that I haven't, you know, I've had lots of free time. You know, the business is making good money, the team's humming along.
Yeah.
So you can definitely go through phases.
Yep.
Yeah.
You, like Davies Construction was at some point Design Construct. At what point?
Oh, Design and Construct. So Design and Construct stuff started, I just started to generate a few people that were coming in without plans.
Yep.
I'd come in without plans and I'd say, well, go to this designer or go to this architect and then come back and see me.
Yeah.
But I found I was like completely losing control of the process.
Yeah. Okay.
And they might come back or they
might
not.
What do you
mean
lose control?
Well, they just might not. They might go to the architect and they'll go through the
tender process and you lose out.
Yeah, just going to the tender process, then you just lose. You know, they don't come back, there's no input. They don't ask any input from you and you lose control. So I started to just partner up with a couple. So they would exclusively work with us as a builder.
Yeah.
And they'd be the designer. And then we started a little design company where we were trying to use PlusSpec as a tool to be able to design houses and also give the quantities and the outputs. The concept around that was like if a builder brings in a design and construct job, we can design it and give it back a 3D model with a set of accurate takeoffs.
What year was this?
This would have been probably 8 or 9 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Tried to get that design company going for a couple of years and it ended up failing. We didn't lose money, but we couldn't get traction with the technology and that at the time, and we couldn't make it work with the people that I was finding.
Do you think it was the technology wasn't quite up to it yet? Because now, you know, we've obviously started on a journey with PlusSpec as well now, and I don't know, I can't help but see the positives on it.
It's the exact the good outcomes and the positives are still the same.
Yeah.
It's just at the time trying to find people that with the skills and the
like 3D buildings back then, like, well, why change? We've got 2D plans.
Yeah, that's right. So that happened, that failed. Then I started doing design and construction through Davies Construction. So we got professional indemnity insurance and it was just I hired architects in-house.
Yep.
So someone – and that was super streamlined. Clients loved it.
Yep.
One-stop shop.
Yeah.
And that's probably the sort of one of the best periods that we had.
Yeah.
We won a heap of awards through that period and had awesome projects and awesome clients, and it was a really sort of good period. And then we started getting more leads than we could handle around Tassie. So we started doing designs for other builders.
Yeah. Okay.
Launceston and Hobart.
Under
Davies Construction.
Yeah.
And then we thought, it's a bit weird having Davies Construction on another builder's set of plans.
Yeah.
So we ended up coming up with the concept of a line architecture, and then we split the companies again. Your companies always go through cycles of trying to amalgamate stuff and split off, and so it's, you know, it's just the path that happened.
Yep.
And now we have Davies Construction is a separate entity, a line architecture is a separate entity.
Yep.
And that's sort of how it is today.
Yeah. And look, we've been chatting with the guys at Align for on a couple of projects, and I'm excited about, you know, getting them on board because, like, just seeing the feasibility and, you know, your approach to very systemized approach to getting, like, going through that design process with being very builder focused and cost focused, and because you don't see that in our experience with going, and sorry for designers and who are listening to this.
Say it because I would say it.
Yeah, like, you know, having a builder's mindset and I guess having a builder's DNA through those drawings of how we would think to put it together makes it so much easier to then put it together.
I see this as being the biggest disruptor coming up, design and construct. I think a lot of architects are going to lose their jobs. I think it's going to – the industry will go down. I think it's going to be very hard to build. You'll see more people wanting to go through a streamlined service.
I reckon what's going to happen is that there's going to be more the collaborative process between builder and architect, whether that's through a company under one umbrella or a architect and a design alignment. Team having an alignment, which is why I love the name, by the way, you know, working through drawings together and being truly collaborative.
Yeah, like think about a client. Like you're going to go –
it's a one-stop shop. Yeah. Like they just get everything at one place.
But I think what will happen is the architects will still exist, builders will still exist separately, but people will come in and go, hey, this is the architect we work with, or this is the builder that we work with from an architect's point of view, and this is our process. Not this is my process, that's the builder's process. It's like this is the process we'll follow through this process, through this design.
Design was it's been a massive advantage. It was an aha moment for me when we had a house got judged and won National Master Builders Awards, and the actual construction of it wasn't as good as I'd like, because it was done through our company with the general manager at the time. He sort of built it himself.
Yeah.
But it was the power of the design. So it doesn't matter how good a builder you are.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you can do the best, swing the best door and tape the best window in and all that type of stuff. But if the design hasn't been done,
thoughtfully,
which is, the sort of concept of this book.
Yep.
With the right feeling and thoughtfully, those things have to work together. So we need people that can do creative designs.
Oh, no, you definitely.
And we also need really skilled tradespeople to put it together.
We just got to work together. We all want the same outcome. Like everyone wants the same outcome. Just work together.
Yeah, and it's all about the customer. So if the customer could click their fingers from not having a house to having a house, they wouldn't decide have to go to this person and that person and this person and that person. So trying to make that as streamlined as possible. They just want the outcome.
Yep. How many clients come to you asking you what the next step is?
All of them?
All of them. Like people want to know. They want a clear process.
And there's misalignment on information. Like we're both pretty educated on the high performance passive house side of things. And if you haven't got someone that doesn't understand that, the communication, they might be learning how to talk about it, or they might not understand it, and therefore it gets mis-explained to the client, and then they don't think it's important. That gets taken out and stripped out, or they're ill-advised on costs. But even how much time do you spend in front of a computer looking at costs? And even still, you get a plan, you're like, I don't know what that costs until you start running numbers.
Yeah.
Some magical reason design teams can pick out a number and apparently that's the cost of the build.
Yeah, and the plans we're getting were pretty rubbish as well. So when you go to build with them, they're unresolved.
Have you found the quality of your plans has dropped over the last 5 years?
I'm going to say no, only because of what I was talking about before with that collaborative process. I know everyone talks about collaboration and it's a bit of a fucking buzzword at the moment, but
it's like the greenwashing sustainability word.
I actually think that our process is pretty robust and we're really involved during that design phase from a buildability and constructability point of view and identifying issues in the plans. So our goal is to have them resolved by the time we sign contracts. So I don't know what those plans would be like if we didn't do that. So it's hard. I'm not going to comment one way or another.
And every job you look at, you pick something up new and you add it to the list.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And this is where true collaboration really works, because I want to know from the design team and consultants, is there something that we're doing that we need to improve on? Because if you don't tell us,
we don't know.
We're not going to know. It's the same with the drawings. Hey, we want this on the plans because my team are coming to us asking that question all the time. So can we just include that thing?
Yeah. Yeah, every builder I talk to, I don't know anyone that wouldn't be happy to, or doesn't want to collaborate in that reconstruction phase.
Definitely.
Just because they want a better outcome for the project.
So I don't think it's design construct, but I think it's that actual true collaboration of where builder and architect are both inputting their knowledge into those drawings.
And there's other people in that collaboration.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But it's the first time, I think now that I think we're speaking about this before, builders are now professional due to things like Future Build. Like they're taught, they do more education than just working about themselves, that they can now sit in the room with these people who have gone and done uni degrees, engineers, architects, and they can hold their own and treat themselves not like the tradie smoking a dart.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a great segue is to, you and I both wearing these Future Builder t-shirts right now. So I'd love to, I'll probably actually never ask you this, where did the idea for Future Builder come from?
It's been hanging around for a fair while, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was probably only a couple of years after I started, I found an old note that I'd wrote down where I wanted to create, because I couldn't find anything back then.
Yeah.
And I had an idea that's been floating around the back of the head. It's I wanted to create a platform that has all the resources and assets and stuff that you need to run a business, to run a building business.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of always been floating around. And as we developed a line, we come up with the term Future Builder as like a group that we wanted to put together.
Yeah.
And we had a concept of like a concierge service.
Okay.
Where we could, you know, find builders that specialise in what you specialise in, Matt, or Hamish, and architects that specialise in the same thing and the client, and sort of match them together.
Yeah.
Like Tinder.
Yeah, pretty much. Tinder for building a house.
Tinder for building a house.
And that sort of sat there, and then I had an idea to build a course based on the book, Dream Home.
Yep.
And I reached out to the guy that was doing all of my visual stuff at the time, Matty Long.
Yep.
From Tassie Visuals.
Yep.
And said, Matt, you know, do you want to do a bit of a deal? We'll build a course, and I've got a couple of ideas for some courses for some builders as well.
Yep.
And then he said, I actually been speaking to another guy in Launceston who wants to, was thinking about doing some stuff for builders. His name's Kyle Zanetto.
Right, there we go.
And I said, oh, well, I've actually had a few chats with Kyle on Instagram. He's messaged me about a few details and bits and pieces, and we've had a couple of calls. So we all got together and sort of grew from there. We thought, well, let's create this community where we can take everything out of our construction businesses,
yep,
white label it, bring in some experts, make some courses, make a community,
yep,
and see if we can really improve both the life of the business owner, their own health,
yep,
and the output that their business creates. So healthier products, healthier homes,
yep.
And that's where it happened, and we just got stuck into it.
And I feel like, you know, having been in the platform for a while now, I think one of the biggest successes for me is, one, the engaging content. And I think, you know, partnering with Matty was genius. I don't think there would have been many people that kind of put that thing together about, because we're visual people. We like pretty things. You know, we're in the age of videos and stuff on our phone, and Matt really has an amazing way of kind of capturing that. And then, you know, Kyle's obviously a big personality as well. You know, he's great in front of a camera. He's really engaging too. And like just putting the three of you together, I think, was freaking genius. And then the white label. That's, for me, was the, like, that's just the vinegar stroke, because builders like, great, I've watched that video, I've watched 1,000 videos online, you know, but I'm not getting anything out of it. You get to watch a course, and then there's an asset. And yeah, I can take that asset, put it in my business, put my logo there, and then it's, then even if it's version one, I've got something that I'm starting to do. And I think, 'cause I've been in a couple of different, you know, builder training platforms before, they're all PDFs and they've got someone else's logo on there and you can't do anything about it. So then there's a massive barrier of taking that, trying to then reproduce it, and then having one that kind of actually works in my business. What you guys do.
It's called AI now, that you could just upload it.
Well, you could, but
I'm joking.
But this is just easy, right? There's there's a white label thing. I'll put it in my business. Even if you just think to yourself that this is version one, in 10 years' time it might look completely different, but this is the start. Like putting one foot in front of the other, and I think that's what you guys are providing.
Yeah, if you've just got that tool just to get you running.
Yep.
So all the courses are to-do based lessons, so we try and keep them short, and you're actually doing something when you're watching the video, not just learning the topic.
And two to 3 minutes.
Yeah, and then there's an asset. So if it's an email template or a sales proposal,
yeah,
or a standard operating procedure, or whatever the thing is that we're teaching. Yeah, hopefully by the end of the course, you've implemented that in the business, and that's filled a hole, because every sort of frustration, bottleneck and hassle, if you just think about what's causing it, it usually comes back to one of the, you know, what we call an asset.
Yeah.
You know, if you're attracting the wrong people, it's your marketing message asset. If you're, you know, you're struggling to get the team members at your job ad, and recruiting asset.
Yeah.
There's always an asset that can fill the hole, and if the team's trained to use that tool and that asset.
Yep.
You know, it's like on the construction site, you know, you got the wrong tool for the wrong job, or you're missing a tool.
Yep.
It makes it a lot harder to do the work.
And be successful, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And do a quality job.
So you run a building company, you run an architecture firm. What's riskier and what's harder?
In terms of risk, cash flow risk, the architecture firm is less risky because you're only paying wages. So I definitely felt the difference.
Like it's time. If it takes a bit longer, you just...
Yeah, well, you're not when you're a builder, you're pretty much cash flowing everything. You're all the subs and materials, and it's not just labour and your overheads; it's everything. So you've got to really be on top of managing.
Yep.
So many moving parts.
You're the bank,
and your bank account. You're the bank, yeah. If you looked at your bank account in like a visual form, it's like a fucking roller coaster. Yeah. It does this,
and I can see how builders like, oh my god, I can buy the boat.
Yeah. But then they forgot now they've got $100,000 GST bill they've got to pay.
Yeah. And now they don't have that. That's happened to me. It wasn't a boat, but you know, you spend money on
it's
stuff.
An architecture firm.
But that's it. That's where all my money went.
And it is. It's like it's probably a few hundred grand exercise to set up an architecture firm.
Right.
You know, just in learning.
And you wouldn't have had the assets. It's not like you work for anyone. So all the CAD files you can't bring from your existing employee and build your library up.
Yeah, it's nothing. So we started from scratch. We had to decide on the software we wanted to use and build all the templates. So from a cash point of view, definitely the construction company is more risky. And I think the construction company is probably the highest risk out of anything that's involved in still. So again, a passion and a reason of why to try and eliminate, you know, sort of minimise some of this risk with these assets.
And look, on that, like I'm, you know, chat with a lot of the guys and girls in Future Builder, and I was chatting with one of the guys yesterday at the AI summit, and we'll just chat. He's 31, and I turned around and I go, mate, you have no idea how lucky you are.
Yeah.
Like you have, I probably can never explain to you how lucky you are to have this.
Oh, if you're a builder, get your license. You've just got your license. You're stupid if you don't sign up to something like Future Builder.
I honestly think, I think about where these guys are at and I think about where I'm at now. I'm 43. If I had this at 31, like.
How much money would you have saved?
I actually don't reckon I really clocked in to actually owning a business was worth anything until I was in my late 30s. Because I was just fucking up all the time and learning from my mistakes.
Say 7 years and 7 years until you see money in the account.
But I reckon, you know, these young guys and girls that are coming through now, they've got these resources and they can learn from all the times that you fucked up, all the times that Kyle's fucked up, chatting with all the other people within the, you know, because we've got this Future Builder chat. Someone's got a question about something and then you've got four different people jumping in and going, oh, do this, this is my experience with this. Like, fuck, I did not have that when I was
And when builders fuck up, it's not $100, $200, $1,000, it's tens and tens of thousands of dollars.
I did a seminar probably a couple of months ago and on the flight home, I opened a blank document up and it was like the heading was, you know, how much have I fucked up in business pretty much? And I just spent 4 hours like trying to...
Crying,
you know.
Could have bought this plane.
Being honest and just writing it down and it did add up to millions of dollars.
Oh, it would
so
be.
I just had like all the things that I'd done.
Yeah.
And then I just put a value next to it.
Yeah.
Just so I can, again, learn from those mistakes and try and look back and try and connect those crumbs, because I think there's a gift in all of that stuff. And if you can find the meaning in that pain, it really helps you sort of get that inner wisdom and learn going forward. So it was a really worthwhile exercise for me.
I think just writing it down is you actually owning the mistake, because a mistake can exist and you could just ignore it.
Yeah.
But if you sat down and owned it and then put a dollar next to it, like that is you going, holy shit, hang on a minute, I'm never going to do that again.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It definitely is scary, yeah.
Fuck, I'm going to do that.
So we talk about what's like the riskiest, and how about like what's the hardest business to run, from say building company to architecture firm to educating builders? Like what's the most challenging?
I'd still be the construction business. You know, it's just, again, so many moving parts.
Yeah.
Is it the hardest business to run at the moment in Australia?
I'd say so. Yeah.
I can't, like, and maybe we're biased because we are builders, but I can't think of anyone that carries a risk like we have to.
And are we just gluttons for punishment? Because I think about this and I'm thinking about what would I do? What would I do if I wasn't
a builder? So much negative media around it.
I actually couldn't tell you what I'd do. And I think about, all right, well, if I had, you know, a bunch of cash in the bank, I'd love to just work on my own property, but I'm still building.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing something.
Do you love what you do, both of you?
Love it.
Yeah, I still love what I do.
Yeah.
I said last night to someone, actually, like, I love my job. Like, I love being a builder, no matter how hard it is and stressful, and I've got to go to Turkey and get a hair transplant because I've lost my hair from it. Like, that's legit, like, what it does to you. But and even young builders who are like, oh, I want to be – well, I'm actually seeing – because, like, we get through social media, like, Chippy's reaching, I want to be a builder – but I'm more and more getting a lot of like, I don't know if I really want to take the risk now. Like, there's so much education out there that they're seeing that, like, oh, it's not just that easy.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon we're going to see maybe a slight decline, because it's so much easier just to go work for someone like yourselves and they get a very good wage, great working conditions, they're already doing the jobs that they want to then do.
Mm. And I guess this is where, you know, the success of where Future Builder is. Like,
and what do you define as a success? Like, is it financial? Because that's not for everyone either.
Yeah, but I think it's – I mean, let's – why do you start a business?
Well, some for some.
I would think it's to it's freedom.
That's freedom what I from it was. What though? Yeah. Like freedom from what?
Yeah. Well, I think it's freedom, like your own freedom, and freedom that you can do the things because you're in charge of your own destiny.
Do you feel like you can do them now? What you want? Like, do you feel like you have the freedom?
Do you know, I feel like I'm really fortunate. I've got three young kids, and for 8 weeks I worked part-time to spend time with my kids. You know, today I'm going to knock off after this and I'm going to go and hang out with the kids in the afternoon. Like, I feel I do, but I'm always on. Like, my brain's always on.
So that's
like the weekends, Saturday, Sunday, if I'm working around the house, if you grab me at any time and ask me what I'm thinking about moment, it would be my business.
3 o'clock in the morning, boom, wake up.
Or how can I improve that thing? Or maybe I can implement this into the business. Like, I'm always thinking about it, but I enjoy it. Like, that's what keeps me active and my brain active.
Well, it's like I say, like, I can't claim this saying. The idea is free, but the grind's expensive.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, mentally, it drains you. But I wouldn't want it any other way. Like, I couldn't think of anything worse. Into a corporate job every day and sitting in an office and being told what to do.
I mean, it's probably pretty clear that the three of us are probably, you know, cut from the same cloth when it comes to like some kind of ADHD diagnosis, right? But like, we seek that dopamine hit, and we're probably both, well, all of us are really excellent problem solvers. That's probably why we do what we do.
And decisive. It's not when you problem solve, like, it's like, you know, in some people, they sit there and like, oh, what am I going to do? Like, we're just like, we'll just do it and own it and be like, oh, fuck that up, won't do that next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a key trait, I think. Making a decision, just going to go at it, working out if it works or not.
I have a question for you, and it's probably not one that you've ever been asked, and maybe not one that you've thought about. You're training these builders, right? Young, 30, 30, 35 years old.
Some are older, aren't they?
Some are older, yep.
Some are probably older than you.
But I'm just thinking the people that are on their own, they're at the beginning of their journey, right? And I guess we're the sum of all the times that we've all fucked up and the learnings that we've done. What kind of builders is Future Builder spitting out if they're not making the mistakes? Or is there still plenty of opportunity for them to still make mistakes in their business, but you're just helping them along the way and you're making the mistakes shorter and less expensive?
Instead of $10,000, it's $1,000 mistake.
Yeah, I was thinking about this myself.
I think, like, failure is important.
Yeah, if you don't fail, you don't learn from that pain.
Yeah.
Reflection plus pain equals, you know, your progress pretty much.
Yeah.
So we're giving them a bit of a shortcut in terms of trying to plug some of the holes and giving them some advice on what they can do to, you know, sort of try and eliminate some of the pain. But just the general aspect of running a business, we can't teach them everything. So they're always going to have pain points and ups and downs and things that they need to learn themselves. And
it's not a silver bullet, but it's a way to fast track to get to a point where, you know, you're a bit more comfortable.
It is. It's one of the main principles that I adopt as well. I try and find someone that's done what I've done and learn from them and read books and read audio and listen to podcasts and try and just get those little nuggets of knowledge to save me going through that, you know.
Who do you go to? Like, do you have like a mentor or?
I've got a business coach at the moment who's working on, my investing portfolio strategy and my health and just how I manage people and how I reflect and contemplate and get, you know, again, that wisdom.
Yeah.
So we're going through, we work on lots of different stuff.
Because you're not in the day-to-days of any of your companies.
No, I do day-to-day stuff in Future Builder. I do probably 3 meetings a week at Davies Construction, meeting a month with a line.
Do you go to all your projects still and just pop in and have a look?
No, not always. We've got one project that's about to get handed over at the moment that I haven't been to.
Wow.
Do you want to go check it out?
I get invited along to the handover, go and shake hands and get a photo.
So that's interesting. So your clients are now coming to your brand. They're not coming to you, which I think is probably a really good message for any business owner, because I'm very well aware that a lot of people are coming to my business because of me. Some big personality, hear me on the podcast, Sustainable Builders Alliance on social media.
OnlyFans.
Oh, Matt.
That's where you popped, didn't it?
I'm aware of that. Like, so I'm actively working on how people can still come to my brand, like come to Sanctum Homes, and not just rely on me. Like, because I'm not really involved in the pre-construction process.
Good people.
Yeah. So it's about good people, isn't it?
Yeah. I just told my project managers, run this like it's your own business. This is your project.
Yeah.
And they run the project. I still like going to sites. Probably the reason I haven't been to this one is because I've been, you know, just on heaps of holidays.
Yep.
And I just haven't, you know, when I've been back, I've been busy and I just haven't got to that area of the state to go and visit this project. But I do like to call into the projects. It's awesome. It's just, when everything's running good as well, like you go in and the everything's neat and the plastering's perfect and the paint's spot on and you're not picking defects. And I hate going to site when I'm just going there to
solve a problem.
I don't mind solving a problem, but I hate going to site when I'm just got to go there and there's just problems everywhere and they're quality control problems that I know didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
That really bugs me and drains me and
actually
makes me want to sort of get out of building. And, you know, so I think there's definitely something to say for having great team and great process and great trades.
Yeah.
And it makes it a lot more enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
Do your clients still get your number? Or
yeah, they've all got my number, but none of them ever call me.
Yeah. But they're still very
Now and then, again, if something shit hits the fan, like someone will send me a message.
Yeah.
Yeah, which still happens.
Yeah, okay.
It's normal though, like
It's just communication breakdown on something and it's like, Luke, can you
just jump
the
in?
The architect said this and this guy said that and
you're the mediator. You're usually the mediator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying this book here, Dream Home, The Art of Building a Sanctuary for Modern Healthy Living, has been kind of something that's been floating around in your mind for a while?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the motivation? I'm really excited about reading this, by the way. What was the motivation to do it?
I don't know. I had in the back of my mind that I wouldn't mind doing a book someday for some reason. Don't know. Don't ask me why. But I went through a course called Key Person of Influence with Glenn Carlson just before COVID, 2019. Yep. And they take you through a framework of becoming like a key person in the industry. So that set off my trajectory of explaining what I do nice and clearly and getting published content like books and blogs. And,
yep.
You know, we talked about a bit yesterday with the 7-11-4.
Yep.
So we learnt all that type of stuff. So having an ecosystem of content that people can read, watch, listen to or do. So then by the time they come to the business, they already sort of know you and, you know, which is awesome for like what you do with your podcast.
It's pretty much how Donald Trump won an election.
Pretty much, yeah. So you're, and a lot of people do, they come to us, it's like, oh, we've been watching you for a couple of years and when we knew that when we wanted to build, we wanted to come and build with you. So the book is just another part of that ecosystem of content. And then it really helped me structure my thoughts. So I'm visual. The book was probably twice as long as this and I had to sort of reduce it and reduce a lot of the tables and charts and stuff in it to sort of make it, you know, sort of a bit more easy to read.
Did you have a ghostwriter or?
Yeah, I did. So I had, I sort of structured there was a methodology going through that course on how you'd structure the book, the chapters and the ideas.
This is the Key Person of Influence.
Yeah, yeah. I think the program's changed a bit now. I think they have like a book writing course.
Yeah, it's going to be a race to see who gets the book out before me or Matt.
Yeah.
So we can write one together.
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe we can write one on each other.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
And you can't read it until it's been released.
But that's a great book just to read. That's actually a book, The Key Person of Influence.
Yeah,
I've heard of it. It's a really good, it turned on a light bulb in my head. Yeah. It's just one of those I've got five or six of those fundamental books that really, really changed the way
that
I do
things. What are the other ones?
Systemology,
Dave
Jennings, Profit First.
It's a great book. Both those books are great books.
Alan's book, marketing book.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, read a book. Don't just read it and put it down. Read it and implement it. It's like what we do, you know, you got to take action.
Another book, just what I'm talking about, books, Traction.
Traction was a good one. Traction and Scaling Up and those type of books that give you a bit of an operating system for business. Which are really good. I'm in the process of writing another one for that, but just suited for builders. So operating system for building businesses.
Okay,
that's the next one on the go.
right, what am I going to write?
A poem. A poem. Just get it out before.
Do you know what? I might do like a foreword in one of your books.
But they're awesome, those books. There's so many. I think I've got 400 and something audio books in the audio library.
Yeah, wow.
So I love Rework, which is written by the guys that created Basecamp. But it's like each page is – it's only a paragraph or so, but it's like an idea. And it's based off people through the world. So I think – I forget who it is. Like if there's too many people in the meeting, if you can't have two pizzas to feed everyone, there's too many people in the meeting.
Yeah.
Like real basic. And it's okay. And there's so many – it's like they're all hidden gems. And the other one, I think it's Chris Voss, is –
negotiation.
How to win.
How to win friends and influence people.
No, that's a different one. Never Split the Difference.
Yes.
Yep.
Geez, that is a banging book.
And I love all Tony Robbins books as well.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a Tony fan.
Yeah.
Been going to a few of his courses lately as well. So his content's really good.
So with this book, you talk about dyslexic, and again, you don't have to talk about any of this if you don't want to, but. How are you proofreading all of this? Like if
I did, going back to the way that the book gets structured.
Yeah.
You have like green, white, red, yellow cards.
Yep.
And you write down like a fact on one colour card. You write down a story, a case study, or, you know, you've got these away and I just laid it all out on a table and had all these different coloured ideas. And then you sort of start to make sure that each chapter has a fact, a story, a case study, a quote, and then you start to match up the concepts. So that's how I sort of come up with the book, and then I started to come up with these sort of methodologies, like the six elements of a dream home, the ABC method for collaboration,
I'm familiar with that line,
all these type of things. So then employed a ghostwriter. They interviewed me, and based on the layout. And then I'd get back some text from them. I used Otter AI.
Oh yeah.
So that they just helped me, come up with some questions and prompts, and then I'd use Otter AI, and then that'd pretty much do the first draft.
Wow.
And then I've read this book probably 10 times. And it takes a long time, So yeah.
So how many years in the making is this book?
About 5 years.
5 years. Wow.
Yeah. Do you regret it?
No. It was a great reflection and contemplation sort of period for me. I'd go away. Lucky that my wife's great and she'd look after the kids. And I'd pick it up every, 4 or 6 months. I'd go away for a couple of days and just work on chunks of the book, and she'd allow me to do that. So that's pretty awesome.
So that's my next question. Work-life balance, you got kids and a wife. How do you do everything? How do you have time for them?
A bit the same as Hamish. I don't have any type of real work-life balance. It's all the one. I'm always on thinking about stuff because I love it. I'm so passionate about what I do.
Does your wife get sick of it?
No. She's really supportive.
She's a part of this health journey.
Yeah, she's part of the health stuff.
Yeah.
It's part of the personal development sort of journey I've gone on. I started without her and we sort of started to grow apart on values and concepts. So getting her to come to a few of these personal development seminars and then sharing the same books has really aligned us and made our relationship a lot stronger as well.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So now we're an unshakable couple. There's nothing that could break our sort of relationship, and
I can't wait to see what your kids do.
And the kids come along on it as well. So most days I'm at home, have brekkie with the kids. I might not always be home overnight, but I make time for them on weekends.
Yeah.
And we just do it, and we have big chunks of time away together. So this year we did the overland track in Tassie, which was a 7-day hike.
How old are your kids?
10 and 12.
So they did the
hiking. So they carried their own packs.
Yeah, awesome.
And we walked through the snow and camped. And
amazing.
Builds resilience and
yep.
all that type of stuff. Resourcefulness, all the stuff that I learnt growing up on a farm. I'm trying, because we're not on a farm now, so a lot of the time people come from nothing and build up and then give their kids everything and then wonder why their kids don't succeed. But it's because they haven't grown up with the same sort of values and they haven't had to be resourceful.
Seems like the world we kind of live in at the moment.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's a recurring pattern that doesn't matter what sort of stage you're in. That happens because you want to give your kids the best.
Yep.
And then we've travelled to Canada and the US and Hawaii, and we've been to Fiji, and we just have really good chunks, and like literally I'm in the moment, and I know life can't get any better because your kids are there, your wife's there, your you're zoned in. The last holiday, I dropped my phone in the pool, so I didn't have a phone for 6 weeks.
Amazing.
Did you love that?
I remember you saying that because you didn't have any. You're like, I didn't take any photos
or anything. Yeah. So it was just like, because I'm usually out snapping photos, and then I see something that's pinged me, and I'm on it, and then the kids are trying to talk to me and pulling my trousers, and I'm like, oh, hold on, I'm just doing this.
That's the part that I struggle the most.
It's like that day I ran over my fucking phone with a lawnmower. That was the most amazing weekend. And for so long, I turned my phone off every Friday. And now for some reason, I've stopped.
So I've got a second work phone now.
So maybe I need to do that, just turn the
phone. Oh, you've got a work phone.
Office phone, just leave it there. And I'm slowly pushing everything to that. And I'm at a point where I might even just get rid of my number and start fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that. Just get just new number and only give it to certain people.
Yeah, I did that.
Wow.
New
number.
I've got two. It's on the same phone.
Yeah.
But I always slip back into bad habits, like bringing the computer home and then doing work.
Yeah, we're not perfect, right?
Bringing your phone.
Do you turn your phone, you just turn the SIM card off at a certain time?
As soon as I come inside every night, I'd put my phone on airplane mode. I don't take it into the bedroom.
Yeah.
I don't look at it.
I'd struggle with that. I feel like I'm addicted to my phone.
I'm 100% addicted to my phone, and I actually think it's got worse over the last 3 months of having Junie, because I was on the couch – enjoying an afternoon where she's just lying on me and I'm just doom scrolling. I kind of feel like I've got into that habit now of always just reaching my phone at night. I need a break.
So you turn your work, because if I had a work phone, I could so easily turn that on airplane mode, but what if everything else? You just don't care. What if a friend just want to get onto you and just have a chat and give you a call?
Yeah, not that I don't care. My phone's on airplane mode, so I'll answer the call and get back to them when the phone goes back on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm curious to know what's next. I mean, you don't come across a person
future architect
that's gonna, that's gonna
how architects would go in that sort of community.
I mean, I don't think you're gonna stop. I can't feel that. I think the next half of your life is gonna be full of all these other new amazing journeys, and I'm excited to watch from the sidelines. But what's next? What does the next 5 years look like?
So having a big push in Future Builder, building out a completely new sort of operating system for how builders can track their numbers and find the constraint and the focus that they need to work on in the business.
Yeah.
And use AI to directly give them the right course, the right asset, or the right expert they need to contact to fix that constraint.
Yep.
So lots of AI software development. AI is moving at a super rapid pace. I think you would have heard of the singularity, where AGI, artificial general intelligence, is smarter than human intelligence.
Yeah.
I think that's happening now.
It's practically any.
But we can't see it.
Yeah.
And I think any moment or any month, things are completely going to change.
They're pretty much
even all the system stuff we've been learning and all these apps and stuff we use, I think it's completely going to change sort of any time. So just keeping up with that. And, we really want to make sure that we're servicing the current members that we have the best we can, and putting lots of energy into that. That's why we're investing in this new sort of technology.
No more businesses?
No more business. I've actually shut down. I had an excavation business and I was in another tech business and these few other things that I've got out of them and shut some stuff down and just trying to get my focus.
Yeah.
I thought I was different to everyone else and I could do
less is more,
a thousand things at once, but I can't, I was doing some stuff okay, but not to the level that I think you've got to get it done.
Successful building company, successful architecture company, successful builders education company. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think that's pretty good.
So I just trying to narrow it down a bit.
So I just made the joke future architect and you just said, I don't think they'd survive in that community. Why?
We've thought about taking the future brand to other trades or
future trades.
About it with Mitch in terms of architects. I'm just not sure. I think the builders just in the high performance or the healthy home industry, everyone just wants to get better and chat and I just made the comment because I just don't know if architects would join a group and and do the same thing.
And do you know what? I would love that you to be proved wrong. I would love that, and in the nicest way possible. Yeah. I'd love to see that collaboration.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I don't know
if there are any groups like that out there for architects to join.
We talk often because we've got a number of different group chats. We've got one, was with a bunch of high performance people, yep. and chatting with some architects about it, they're like, "Oh no, we don't share any of that stuff. Like, we don't have that group of, they don't see like 8 or 9 architects and designers going out for lunch. You know, we do that periodically with this group of people.
I speak to you guys more than my wife some days.
100%. Our group chat's called Hogwarts School of Better Builders.
Yep.
And like, it's always got, I've had to actually silence the message chat because it kept pinging.
Yeah.
And I'll open up my phone. There's probably one on there now.
Or like, I mean, I honestly open up and there's very rarely not something. Well, the last one was at 12 or 11 today.
Yep.
So.
But it's great because we're there, we're sharing, we're helping out, you know. I actually put into the chat because Kyle mentioned there was a couple of lads in Tassie who had taken their lives the other day, and I actually, well, like, holy shit, went jump straight into that chat and go, hey guys, I've just heard this. I'm so grateful that I've got this group of people that are here for me regardless whether I'm having a good day or a shit day.
Yeah,
you know, let's not stop this ever.
Yeah, I think I was listening to this podcast on a drive back from Hobart, and you were telling the story about how all your mates come together to help you fix something in one of your jobs.
It was
just as you was turning the podcast, like I was just by myself in the ute, and I was just listening to it, and just in an instant I started, you know, I just had a tear running out of my eye, and this emotion sort of hit me, and I'm like, fuck.
I actually remember,
just jolted me.
I think you were at the Passive House conference that year where I actually gave the talk about that job.
Yeah.
And there was two moments in that talk that I almost lost it.
Drew
was at the end and I actually stuttered.
Yeah.
And it was when I was saying how grateful I was that, you know, Jack, Mark, had the guy from Bay Edge Construction there, Brad, as well, and I had Brad all coming there to help me find leaks. Didn't have to be there.
That's
what this community is all about. Like,
yeah, it's special.
It's real fucking special. And, you know, I see that exact thing in the Future Builder chat as well. Everyone, like, there's new guys in there from 22-year-olds up to, you know, 43, 44-year-olds.
Imagine being a 22-year-old in here. Like, I just feel like they're so lucky to have that.
Like Noah Shields, right? Like, he's mid-20s. Yeah. And I'm like, mate.
If he soaks it up, where he's going to be.
It's so
unreal. Like, I'm so excited to see where guys like that are going to be. And there's multiple guys in that group.
Like, it's so easy.
Their trajectory
is easy for them, but like, they're so like, imagine having that many resources at that age when you I've got to do my first estimate. Now what?
Yeah, I think, like, and I just want to go back to Future Builder one more time before we wrap this up. Like, you still got to do the fucking work though. Like, it's not a silver bullet. You can't just go, oh, well, I'm going to pay my money, I'm going to do the course and it's done. Like, you need to put the work in, you need to learn.
Yeah. This is actually going to flow pretty well into, we've got a final segment, the MEGT. It's our mindful moment. So we've got MEGT sponsoring this segment, which is Australia's leading apprenticeship network.
Now, I believe, hang on, before you go, you've got MEGT coming on.
Yeah, they're going to come on and do a mastermind.
Yeah.
Lovely.
About apprenticeship schemes and everything. Yep. And
awesome.
So what we talk about study, and I think and I got this point made to me by Dave who works for me the other day, when you go to university, you go to school, like you go do your lectures and you learn, and then you got to go home and do your extra work and read and stuff. Why is an apprenticeship any different? Like, you should go to work, do your work, and you're learning. But when you go home, there's extra work that needs to be done. Like, there's so many resources now where you can jump on YouTube, podcasts, books to just grab that extra bit of information to get better at your job. Because at the end of the day, you're setting yourself up for success. Yeah. And it was a really good point because I was like, so many people with their apprenticeships just go to work and go home.
Yep.
But there's so much more that you can do to be better because you're only setting yourself up for success.
Yep. Yep. So if you're an apprentice, my advice would be, and I don't know if you're the same here, Luke, like, it doesn't stop 7 to 4 or whenever your work hours are. Like, if you want to get better, if you want to stand out, if you want to exceed, if you want to excel, you need to do some work yourself.
You and your students spending, 2 to 3 hours a night extra doing some work? Like, and we're not saying do that, but maybe it might be half hour, 35 minutes.
And let me ask two of you, like, as a business owner, do you see the ones that put in the extra work?
Oh yeah.
Like, they have a aura around them that they are outshining the other people.
They're the ones that end up getting paid more when their apprenticeship's finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones that are proactive. They go out and they're buying tools for themselves and trying to better their kit, and they're taking the plans home and reading, or they're preempting, they're going to be installing a certain type of cladding, and they'll have a look at the install guides.
Yeah.
You know, they'll start to get into, they'll listen to podcasts like this and, you know, try and absorb knowledge. So they're definitely I've had some awesome apprentices come through my business that have been amazing. They've won Apprentice of the Year, and they've, you know, we've had all sorts of great people come through that have gone out and started their own businesses now.
Yep.
It's an awesome path.
Yep.
Yeah, apprenticeships.
Yep. Luke, I'm excited to watch the next however many years of your life unfold. It's been a pleasure knowing for the last few years, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for coming on.
And thank you guys for making the podcast and getting some knowledge out there.
Thanks, buddy.
Mate. Cheers.
Cheers.